WSJU Radio, DJ Mad Max on air here. We have a very special guest here on the phone lines, Rontez Miles. How you doing today, Rontez?
I'm pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. It's an honor to have you call in. I've been a fan for a long time. I grew up a Jets fan my whole life, and it's an honor to speak with you tonight.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me, man.
No, no doubt. So what was it like growing up in Braddock, Pennsylvania?
Very small place, you know, a lot of family, a lot of friends, not the greatest area, you know. They've been making changes as of lately. Mm-hmm. And it was just more so like, you know, it was a steel mill town. We had nothing but sports and family, you know what I mean? And that's what drove me. It was, for me, it was love. It's my childhood memories. But, you know, it's tough down there.
Mm. Now that you're in the tri-state area, how would you compare it?
Night and day, man. It's 10 times faster up here. It's way more diverse. There's way more things to do. You know, I'm used to like a slow motion, steady type of life. And up here, everything is fast. So, you know, just trying to keep up. But the last 7 years is my seventh year with the team. I grew to like it, you know, and I adjusted well so far.
That's good. That's good. And when did you make the decision of wanting to play football?
Oh, man, I had to be like 7 or 8, man. I just, this is what I always wanted to do. I don't know why or how. I know my mother was dating Harry Randall. It's my little brother's father, actually. He's not even my father, but he used to tell me, like, you're at the house too much, man. You got to get out the house. Like, you can't be sitting here in your mom's face all day. And he showed me a couple sports, and I automatically was like, I'll play this. Whatever sport this is, it was football. Like, I'll play that. And it's been that way ever since.
Mm. Now, what positions did you play earlier in your career? Was it always strong safety?
No, man. I never. It's crazy. I didn't play safety until I got into high school. Like, really? 10th grade high school. Yeah, I was a running back, tight end, a linebacker, a middle linebacker, you know. But I never played safety until I got to a sophomore year in high school.
Now, out of those positions that you just mentioned to me, besides playing safety, now, what position did you enjoy playing the most?
I enjoy playing receiver. I mean, running back was short-lived for me. I did it Little League, then I did it 8th grade. I was a running back. But I always was, like, a more defensive guy, you know what I mean? But my senior year, I started off playing, like, getting a lot of snaps at receiver. I missed receiver a lot. I would definitely say receiver.
Mm. Now, growing up, what were some of your favorite players or teams?
I'm a diehard. Well, I used to be. I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, Randolph, but I'm Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, man. You'd be crazy not to be a Steeler fan. Man. You know, I have a Steeler tattoo everybody knows about. Grew up watching them guys play. I think because of just the tradition of the sport. And the team down there made me want to be a football player even more, man. Be a defensive guy. Like, Troy Polamalu is one of my guys. Barry Sanders, Mike Flowers, man. Deion Sanders. Even Hines Ward is coaching with the receivers on our staff now. And when I seen him, I was like starstruck. You know what I mean? Just because I was like always a childhood legend in my eyes. And now, you know, we're on the same team right now. So, Pittsburgh was definitely my team growing up.
Hmm. I'm not surprised because that's where you grew up, so it would be automatic for you to root for them. And what were some of the things that your earliest coaches taught you that you utilize in your gameplay today?
I would say definitely younger. Like I said, I wanted to be an offensive guy first. And, you know what I mean? I had a lot of guys, like, from where I'm from that not only coached me in Braddock, but they played through Braddock when they were younger. And it was always about being physical, man. You can't put a helmet on and put these pads on and come out here and play tag. You know, it's a 100% contact sport. Every play, you're hitting pads. And believe it or not, I used to shy away from contact when I was younger because I wanted to be the finesse guy. But they unleashed that in me, man, and that stuck with me a long way because at the end of the day, if you can't tackle or if you're afraid to hit in this game, in this sport, like, I mean, you probably won't last long, you know?
Mm.
But that stuck with me, and it's also, like, my high school coaches, man, how to be consistent, to be a pro, you know, be more than what you do. Like, you make a play, yeah, be hyped, celebrate, but act like you've been there before. You know what I'm saying? Act like you know you was going to make that play. Mm. Compared to always having to over-exaggerate and over-celebrate. Like, you make a big play, like, have some fun, but act like you've been there before. Like, you know that you are who you are, like, you know, and them things kind of stuck with me all the way until now. Mm.
I remember hearing Vince Lombardi coached his players that way as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's how we was coached at my high school. George Novak, Willer Hills, man. He act like you've been here before, you know?
Yeah. And you brought up before about hitting players. I know this is a big thing around the NFL, but as a player yourself in this day and age, I've seen in recent years, what's it like now being on the defense? And if you hit someone hard, and you know how it is, the referees throw a flag more now today than usual. What's that like on a defensive set in this day and age?
Man, this honestly, it's tough. We're not going to sugarcoat it. It's tough. It's hard. It's an offensive game at this point. Mm. Just from the protection for the quarterback and the receiver, how much room they get to run free, and we have to cover them, basically covering world-class athletes and sprinters without being able to be aggressive all the time. And I feel like it just slows you down sometimes, you know. And I had a play earlier in this preseason where I had a clean shot at a guy, but he was falling head first into the ground, but he was still up. He was nowhere near down, so it had been a clean hit. But the first thing that jumped in my mind is his head's too far down for me to take a good shot. Either way, even if I didn't aim with my helmet, I had to hit him in the head. That's where his body was going. So I went for the strip. And now in my head, when I'm watching the film, what if he had stumbled and stayed up? You know, and it just makes you hesitant and holds you back. But at the end of the day, they're trying to protect us. You know, and that's how they keep that in mind. If they're trying to keep this game that, to me, America's greatest game, living, you know, have life for a long time, because if they don't get it fixed, maybe it come to an end. You know, this is a big deal. And I just try to remind myself, like, they are trying to protect us. So it's something we all got to adjust to. Mm-hmm.
Now, how have the helmets changed over the years?
Oh, man. I like to think they're bigger. Someone's bigger, more weight sometimes. But it's just more padding, man. They're doing way better with the inside of the helmet. Also separation from the inside to the hard hat. Usually it just be the hard hat with the pad on your head. Now you got the cushion with space between that, then the hard hat part of the helmet, and the bigger air pieces. Like, it's just more cushion in there. Like, they're testing them highly, rapidly. They're getting rid of helmets, you know, immediately that doesn't fit the protocol. So, man, it's a big change, but they're now finally starting to be able to recreate those helmets that we all once loved and wore. Mm-hmm. To still make them look the same, just way safer. Mm-hmm.
And that's good too, because there was a whole concussion thing going on, and I know they've been doing things with the helmets to make it more safer for the players, and I'm glad to hear that they're finally taking more steps in that direction. And when did you make the transition to strong safety?
Well, I played free and strong. I just always played it. It was in 10th grade in high school. Mm-hmm. I remember coaches put me there. I don't even think I asked to be there. He just put me there. And it was like my first 10th grade game, and just being able to see the whole field in front of you. I was at free safety, and man, I loved it. I fell in love with it. And then I ended up playing varsity in 10th grade, and it was history from there. Mm.
And you were also... Most of the time. I'll continue.
I was just saying, most of my important years in football, I was at safety.
Mm. Of course. And what was it like being teammates with Rob Gronkowski? Because you guys went to the same high school.
Right. It was good, man. It was, I remember when I first met him, I walked past him because I didn't even think, look at him in his eyes and his face. Like, if he was like one of the players, but he was an adult, like a grown man. Like, you know, I walked by him and we're all like, where you at? Like, dang, this dude's big. But by far, from the first time I seen him put pads on, I knew he was gonna be great. Mm. You know what I mean? He loves the work. He was on the basketball team, such a alley hoops, helped the gym. That's like the thing he came to a program where we toughened them up as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had told me one time he never been in a fight. Like, we was like in camp. Like, you never been in a fight? You know, when we were from kids fight all the time. Like, that's how we grew up. Like, you know, he never been in a fight. Like, I mean, he is 6'6", 6'7". Probably will want to fight him, but like he was like a different person, like a different being. He brought something different to an area where, you know, I wasn't familiar with. And it was good to connect with him. He's still good friends.
And what was it like going against him when he's on, you know, the nemesis of the New York Jets? That's just our kryptonite. Yeah. So what's that? What was that like?
He's a great guy. He's a great football player. And he had a great career, but I don't even look at it as none of that when we play him and I'm lining up against him or covering him. Or I was like, dang, like, we're here. Like, he said that to me. Like, it was like last season, the final game of the season, I started against the Patriots, and I'm covering him in the end zone, but he don't know it's me. He's just running a route, and he say, look at me. Like, we gave each other a hug. He's like, man, we're still here. Like, you know, it's more so of a blessing, like, you know, like to know somebody that long, and y'all both still fighting in this game and this business that a lot of people can and won't ever be able to get to do, you know. So I just look at it as a blessing.
And he retired this past season. I know he said something this past week that he would consider coming back, but he needs to take some time off. So do you think he will come back, or you think that's it from Rob Gronkowski?
I don't know. That's a tough question, because like anybody in this business, once you leave it, you want it back. You know, some guys don't have the privilege to get it back once it's gone. And when you do this your whole entire life and then stop, I think it's pretty easy for Muzzle to say, like, yeah, I think he will. He probably won't miss it. But, you know, he's been banged up over the years, and maybe that might weigh a factor heavier than coming back. I don't know, but man, we'll see, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. And what made you choose to attend California University of Pennsylvania?
So they were hot on my case, and I tried to take another route, of course, you know. It's a whole other story we ain't got to get into. But I had a cousin there, Terrence Johnson. Mm-hmm. We played at high school together, you know what I mean? He was a senior, I was a sophomore. I played with him, and then he went off to college. And I remember he kept telling me, like, man, they really like you here. I was leaving Kent State at the time, and my grades were horrible coming out of high school, you know. So I had to kind of take summer courses, junior, like community college, just to get qualified. Mm-hmm. And I remember them telling me, like, man, you only need a certain amount of credit to get here. My cousin, like, man, come on. Like, come down. Like, come play with me, man. Like, you know, and I always been a dream. It was winning. He actually played in the NFL for a few years. He was with the Patriots for a while, you know, with the Colts, like, you know, so he played. And at that time, they were a hot five, six years straight winning a conference. And in my head, it was like, I just want to get on the football field. You know what I mean? I haven't played a snap of football 2 years after high school. So I was kind of like just anxious. And as soon as the window opened, I went. Like, I had other people still trying to contact me to come to their schools and Division I school, but it took an extra year of community college, and I didn't want to waste another year of my youth. So as soon as I qualified for Division II, I went straight to Cal, kind of ignored any other recruiters and letters I was getting. I knew I was going there.
Now, while playing at Cal U, what were some of the things that you learned that took your play to the next level?
Oh, man. My coach, Coach Cole, he played receiver there at the time when he was in college, and then he started coaching DBs. And I always naturally could react to the ball, but he taught me the meaning of reading the uncovered lineman. Mm. Like, if you're looking at a line of scrimmage, high hat pass, if you see the helmet firing off, the ball should run. So I went from just backpedaling for no reason to I could sit flat foot and make a tackle damn near by the line of scrimmage by reading my keys right, you know what I mean? So he he basically helped me understand, like, most of football is more reading than reacting. Instead of reacting, then adjusting. You know, read, then react. That was a big thing for me.
And when did you realize that your dream of playing in the NFL would eventually become a reality?
I always felt that way.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good mentality.
Yeah, I had no other plans, no other dreams, no other goals. I would stay at college. Like, I never been on a spring break. I never went home over the summer. I stayed on campus for them 4 years, and I did the training program with the strength coordinator every summer. Living there, eating ramen noodles every day. Didn't care about a spring break. I didn't care about nothing. Like, I felt that way since I was 8 years old. Like, I had no other plan.
That's dedication, though.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here where you are today for the New York Jets.
Right. Appreciate that.
Now, what was the process at the combine? What was that like for you?
Oh, it was surreal, man. Like, I was the only Division II kid there, I think, for the DBs. And I know all the other guys because they're on SportsCenter every day, being talked about by the draft board and all of that other stuff, you know what I mean? So I'm just sitting there looking like, okay, that's Honey Badger. You got Avery, you got, you know, Sheldon Richardson. You got a lot of these guys. I'm like, I know for a fact nobody here knows me, you know? Mm-hmm. And even just being there on that platform with them guys, I feel like even though they didn't know me, like, he's probably here for a reason, you know? I must have did something right, but it was surreal, man. It was like, okay. It's everything that I thought it would be. It was a lot of hours, a lot of meetings, you know, mm-hmm. tests, but, it's an experience that I'll always be grateful for.
And what is the process of being an undrafted and signing with a team? Is it basically the same thing as a free agent? The team reaches out to you and you just sign a contract?
Yeah, so I was getting calls during the draft and nobody made the call to snatch me up. And after the draft ended, I had like 13 teams call. And I had to pick the the truth is I had like 5 to 6 teams call, mm-hmm. but I already knew where I was going. And then by the time the end of the day had happened, it was like a total of 13 teams that had called, but all total the same thing. I'm going to the Jets.
Great decision. I love having you on the team.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they kept it real with me, man. I forget what was happening. I remember they took D. Milliner, Sheldon Richardson in the first round, and they called and told me, they're like, we're not taking no more defensive players the rest of this draft, rest offense. And wow. If you're not drafted, we want you, though. And that was what they said to me. Every other team that called didn't say that. Like, oh, we're thinking about getting you in the 5th or the 6th, or we got to pick in the 7th. We might grab you. I don't know if we're going to. I heard a lot of everything where I just was stuck up to me was the Jets was like, look, we're not drafting no more defense again. But if you're still around, we want you. It was more so the honesty and how real and blunt they were with what they're doing, and they called, you know. So I had my decision made up way before. I knew it was 13 other teams calling, so it worked out.
And I'm glad it worked out. What was going through your mind when you first put on the green and white?
Man, it's like, you know, I'm here, and I don't know, man. It's like, it's like for example, the first NFL game I played in, I mean, the first NFL game I've ever been to in my whole entire life, I was playing in it. Never been to a pro football game, you know what I mean? And walking through the tunnels and like, dang, this is my first time at a football game, I'm in it. And then you're just like, you just, like, it's like as a kid getting into the NFL, like where I'm from, it's like getting into heaven. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it seemed like it's so impossible. It's an impossible thing. That's how it's displayed to you. That's how people talk about it. And even if you make it, people don't make it over 2 years in the NFL. It's like getting into heaven for a kid like me. Like, it's all I cared about. And to finally say I'm sitting here. Mm-hmm. With Crow Marty and, you know, like, Revis and these guys and all them type of guys. It's like, okay, I'm here. But now I had to fully wipe that out in my mind. Now that I'm here, now it's time to stick around. So,
yeah. And choosing the number 45, what made you choose that number?
I never choosed it.
Oh, they just gave it to you?
Yeah, you don't get to pick your number for real unless you're like, you know, first round draft pick coming in. You don't pick your number.
Oh, okay.
The reason I haven't changed it because nobody wanted me to. I tried to change it. Nobody like, no, that's you. Like, it's you. Like, once you make your print in something, it's like, it's you. Like, and I just never changed it. Everybody, I tried to change it a handful of times. Everybody, man, don't do it. So, you know, I like to think that that number, I don't think no other Jazz wore that number longer than me in the history of being here. So it's like, I might as well keep that train rolling while I can.
You'll always be remembered as number 45.
Yes, sir.
And going back to your first game in the NFL, how would you say it was like making that transition to the NFL from college?
I would say the biggest thing was the speed is faster, mm-hmm. but it's not because people are faster. It's quicker decisions. It's more precise passes. It's more attention to detail that makes the game fast. It was never that people are running faster or, you know what I mean? The size difference is a big difference, how big people are and how athletic they are and how consistent and precise and attention to detail they are. Mm. You know what I mean? And once I, like, got to, like, the third preseason game, I was like, man, this is football. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're not saying I was fully, like, hip to the game at that point, but after I realized, like, okay, this is football. Mm. Now it's all mental. It's real mental at this level, man. It's a lot that goes into the mental point of this game, and I think that's how you stick around, is if you mentally can pick it up. Mm. The faster you pick it up, the longer you'll stick around.
And you came to this team with one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, Rex yeah. Ryan. What did he teach you?
Man, everything. He told me, one of the things that stuck with me that he said to me was, and when we said it to the whole defense, and he was, and I didn't understand it until, you know, 2-3 coaches later, but he said, if you could pick up this playbook, because this playbook was complicated, if you could pick up my playbook, you can learn any playbook in the NFL. And I never knew what that meant until 2-3 coaches later. You know what I mean? It's like, okay. Yeah. You know, so he was a mastermind with the man, and it was complex. It was 3-4 calls in one call. Like, you get a call, and if, you know, depending on the formation, mm-hmm. you'd be going to another play in the middle of the call. And if you was on the right side of the field as a safety, both safeties had to know everything. You couldn't, it wasn't a strong safety, it was a free safety. Like, some teams do that. You're in the box or you're in the post. Wherever you're at on the field, that's what you're going to do when you see that formation. You know, flag going forward with other teams, whereas you're just in a box or you're just a free safety, or you just need to know this job for this play, or it makes it easier, you know, compared to having to know everything. And even with our system now, Coach Greg makes it clear, you better know more than one position. Mm. You know, so you have to learn more than one position. But I've been with coaches where you're in a box or you're in a post. You know, so. Mm.
And after Rex Ryan's time with the Jets, Todd Bowles came in, another great defensive mind. Now, what would you Rex, say you learned from him, and how is he different from Rex Ryan?
He's calmer, you know. Mm. He's more settled. You know what I mean? He's he played DB, you know, so.
For the Redskins, yeah.
Yep, so his vision and input into what I had to do was not from a coach's standpoint, it was from a player's standpoint. Mm-hmm. He's a player's coach, so man, he just taught me so much. I got my first time really getting the games was with him through his defense, where I excelled at, and man, I owe him a lot for that. You know, he's a great coach too, and like I said, there's nothing better than having a DB. I mean, a head coach that was a DB. Mm-hmm. All the little tricks and trades to the game, things that he knew. Years, he'd tell you, like, oh, if you're going through here, make sure you look back to that. Maybe small stuff he'd just tell me, I was like, dang, I didn't even think of that. You know, so definitely was great.
And now this year, Greg Williams comes and joins the defense and gets this defense top notch this year. What are you learning from him that you may have not learned from Bowles and Rex Ryan that has advanced this year's gameplay for the defense?
Man, a lot. Like, I guess it's a blessing to have learned from multiple masterminds like this, man. Greg is short and simple with it. My way or the highway. Get with it or get lost. Keep you on your toes. Keeping you want to make sure, you know what I mean? You don't want to fuck up.
Mm.
You don't want to mess up. And attention to detail. If we could be perfect for one play each down, we'll win every game. As many games as we need to win. And I'm just about how every inch, every yard, he just really made football way less complex, which most people take the NFL is complex, but he makes it to where it's not, and it can't be that simple, you know what I mean? Less movement, more reaction, more reading, like, it's great. It's really great. I'm excited to see how the season goes under it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the defense. And I know so far the defense, from what I've heard from fans, are worried this season because of the ACL injury of Avery Williamson, the hamstring issues with Tremaine Johnson, and now Brandon Copeland being suspended for the first four games. And another concern is if Marcus May can stay healthy. What is the plan to combat these issues and make the defense a success this year?
Well, I can't go into details about any injuries, but I know that if we believe in the system, we'll be fine.
Okay.
The system is the system, and next man up, as they say it all the time, but I feel like, man, it's the NFL. Everybody can play.
Mm.
Any and everybody can play. You just got to capitalize off your opportunity, and I think we're going to be fine no matter what the outcome is or what happens.
I believe it. If you're there, you're there for a reason.
Right.
Mm. And you got your first career interception against Eli Manning and the Giants in December of 2015. And I'll never forget that play because I had bragging rights against the Giants fans at my high school at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, when I was in there the next morning, so I was like, how about Rontez Miles, huh? Leading the comeback game against the Giants. Oh, they were pissed off.
Yeah, that was big.
Oh, man. Did they give you the game ball for that game?
Yeah, I got a game ball for that game.
Oh, good. That's what I always wondered. I wonder if they gave him the game ball.
Yeah, it was dope to get that, man. That's why I had the a first career interception ball, game ball.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it was just, man, it was amazing. Definitely, you know, the battle in New York's always a big battle. It's another game to us, but everybody in the city makes it big, you know. So, and everybody said the same thing. They're Giants fans. They're Jets fans. They need to bragging rights to the next time they play and all that stuff. And it's just fun, man, to go out there and compete with another team in your city. Great.
Really enjoyed
that game.
What was that like for you when you had that interception against Eli Manning? What was that like?
It's crazy. It was just like how Coach Bowles drew it up. It was crazy. It was like we knew what type of routes they like to run, and I remember us practicing it and practiced all week. You know, pick route. Mm-hmm. If it's a pick route, fall off into the window. Literally, I just did, like I said, I did what he told me to. Seeing the pick route, I stopped my feet. He threw it right to me. It was like, it's just crazy, man. It felt good. And like at the time, I just knew like, okay, we got the momentum. I didn't expect to go into overtime or win. I didn't know what was about to happen. At that point, I just know like, okay, we got the momentum. I just did something big. Like, and it was my first career interception. So of course I was like really geeked, ready to get back out there. So.
Because I thought the game was over. When then he made the interception, it turned the game around. Fitzpatrick came down the field, scored the field goal, and then you stopped them on defense. You went back. They scored the touchdown to take it into overtime, and Fitzpatrick threw it to Brandon Marshall. And then we ended up winning in overtime, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Right.
And
crazy.
I know you've had some injuries in your career, and I want to know, what are you doing differently that may help avoid these injuries and keep you healthy for the remainder of the season and the whole season?
I changed my diet like over a year or 5 months ago, my pescatarian. So more veggies, more seafood, really eating too much meat. I'm more focusing on like just natural foods and plants and stuff like that. More maintenance, keeping my body weight like real consistent, not fluctuating. Probably the most hydrated I've been in my career. you know, I'm 30 years old, man. I've been in playing for a while now. So the more things that I would have to do anyway when you start getting to this area in your career to scrape them last however many years I got left out. And I'm feeling real confident, real confident about the years I have left.
Good. I can't wait to see what you do on the field in the upcoming years and this year especially. And that brings me to my next question. What's the atmosphere amongst the team on the field and in the locker room this season? We have new uniforms. We have a whole crop of new guys that just came in here with the draft and free agency. You had a great addition with CJ Mosley on the defense this year. So how would you describe the atmosphere?
It's crazy you ask that because new unis, new coaches, they even changed the painting in the building on the walls and the inside. Like it feels like we're not even in Florham Park no more. It feels like a different team, a different building, a different everything.
Really? They painted the walls in there too?
Well, they changed the walls a few times since I've been here, but we just changed the walls like last season. So they did them over again, I think, because we got new colors, the Gotham green and everything. So you just feel like it feels like a new team, you know, and I'm looking forward to see how new we are, how fresh we are, and, you know, how green we could be, you know. I'm just looking forward to it.
Mm. How do you feel about the new uniforms? You like them?
I love them.
Yeah,
I mean, the other ones way too long.
I agree. As a Jets fan, I mean, I care more about the wins, but a lot of the fans, they worry about the uniforms. But it's nice to change the scenery.
Yeah, always. Mm-hmm. This change going to come. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a time where these unis will be changed. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, you've been a part of this team for many years now. Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick were the quarterbacks for the remainder of the time you were there. Bryce Petty, and I know the amount of headaches that Geno Smith and Fitzpatrick may gave Jets fans with all the interceptions. But now we have Sam Darnold. And I saw you in an Instagram video where Darnold was throwing passes. I believe it was in practice. And you said something like, Sam can throw. Now, what do you see in Sam Darnold that's different than Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, not to compare or put anybody else down. Those guys are great guys and great quarterbacks. Fitzpatrick had one of the greatest seasons I've ever seen in my life. Brandon Marshall, we had Decker. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest seasons I've ever seen in person because being on the team. But just for Sam, separately from them guys, he's very, very ahead of his age. Mentally, his patience, even outside throwing the ball, because the kid can throw the ball. That's just evident. And everybody can see that. But in this business, sometimes being the best thrower don't mean you're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. It's your mind. It's your patience. It's your studying. It's how calm you are under pressure, not turning the ball over. And this kid don't look like he don't play like he's 21, 22 years old. So the sky's the limit for Sam, man.
I'm looking forward to see what he does in his second year. And he's been looking great in preseason so far. That pass to Robbie Anderson the other night with the Saints, they put it right in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Great play.
Good, man. You know, I don't think he threw an interception yet either.
No. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you control the ball. You smart with the ball, man. You can win games that way.
Now, I want to transition to your music career because I know you're a rapper and you love to make music. So when did you start making music?
I've been making music probably since I was like 12, 11, 12, 13 years old. Always loved music. Always. I think I get that from my mom. Mm-hmm. And now I've been rapping with my friends and family for years, and I finally started my own record label like a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the record label called?
Bloodhound Brotherhood, the label, all family. I probably go Bloodhound Brotherhood. It's like one, I got two brothers and my best friend. It's short for like BH, the label. It's like a brotherhood. So it's family, not a gang. It's like one of our slogans. And we just make feel good music, man. Like actually, my he's the president, but also one of the main artists in the group. His name is George Blake, but he go by Sis. He just released his album. His first EP under the label was released last night at midnight, and it's doing good right now. People loving it, so I'm excited, man.
Good. The streams are up, and everyone's downloading it. That's important too.
Yeah, people getting after it, man.
Now, you said you listened to a lot of music growing up. What were some of the genres? Did you just listen to rap or you listened to
many different
ones? Everything, okay.
R&B, country, pop, everything, man. If it catches my ear, if it makes me feel some type of way, I make all type of music. I mean, a lot of people haven't heard a lot of my songs yet. I release singles. I haven't really done a full project yet, you know, because I focus on football first, you know. But, real soon, people will hear the type of music I have, and I think it's going to shock some people. You know what I mean? I make all types of music.
What would you say inspired you to make music?
And I think it would be like my mom.
Your mom?
She had a boyfriend that had a studio in the house.
Wow.
Or he used to rap. Had a studio, or I can't remember. He had a studio. I was young. Studio in the house. Or he used to take me to his boy's studio with him, but he rapped. And my mom was always playing music and singing, and I just grew up like just always around music. And I used to be like infatuated with like Jackson 5 and you know, New Edition, and just see, like, you know what I mean. I was always. That tended to catch my eyes just as much as me watching the Steelers play as a kid. Like, you know, I just knew I always wanted to be like a football star or a star in general as far as music. So, them two things went hand in hand my whole life. I remember I'd be almost late to camp in high school, about to get on a bus to go away for camp because I'm at my best friend's house making music. Like, with my helmet and shoulder pants right outside his house, like, I got to go. They go hand in hand for sure.
You go on the list of many athlete rappers, actually. And I was having this discussion the other day on one of my shows. I know there's people out there that don't know Shaq was a rapper.
Yeah, Shaq, Kobe tried, Iverson.
Allen Iverson, yep.
Definitely.
And who are some of the artists that you love listening to growing up and that may have inspired you the most?
I wasn't really a great big fan of none of them guys, but like Lillard, the basketball player, he's nice, man. You know, you got Bell, you got Bellamy, they rap. I heard them guys' music. They got some solid music, but growing up, who inspired me, I would see Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, oh, no.
that's my favorite rapper, man.
Oh, man. I respect it. I'm a Nas guy, that's why.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, man. So what did you think about Takeover and Ether and that whole beef? You think Jay-Z won or Nas won?
I think Nas got the nudge with Ether. But overall, I think Jay-Z handled his business overall. But that Ether was just so crazy.
Yeah.
that was like a real hard uppercut that he had to recover from. But other than that, I think Jay-Z handled him all the other songs. Yeah.
Favorite Jay-Z album?
Favorite Jay-Z album? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's tough.
Reasonable Doubt?
No, everybody says that. It wasn't Reasonable Doubt. I would have to say, and mine might be more so because it comes with memories. But I think Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come? Well, I think that was 2005, right?
2006. I can't remember
that album.
Yeah, but that was my, like, just because of the memories and everything that come with it. So it always don't be about what sold the best or what everybody else liked. There was a lot of songs on there that really holds weight for memories in my life, like, you know, so.
And when you go to iTunes and download your music, the artist name listed is Teddy P. What made you choose that name as a rapper?
For one, I didn't want to mix my football with music. For one, you know, I wanted to be separated, treated separately, and my whole family calls me Teddy.
Okay. I didn't know that.
My mom, my dad, my sisters, my cousins. My nickname is actually Teddy, you know, so I figured the type of music I make more hip hop mixture, R&B ish, more like harmonizing type music. So stick with Teddy P, you know. So it's kind of like always been a name I had. Nobody really never knew, but that's always been my nickname. Yeah.
How often do you write and record?
I have a studio in my house.
Oh, okay. So you just go in there whenever you're just in the right mind frame and just lay a track down.
Yep.
You produce too?
This week. Yeah, I mean, I'm not making beats though, but I definitely want to get into that. It's hard though, but man, yeah, I do everything. I write, dudes, I do everything. I get back into it though, but it's like football is really challenging, man. Like, it's to balance those two. Like, and I'm like a perfectionist. Like, I don't want to do it unless I can really do it. That's why I got the label and I'm pushing other artists that I really believe in. And just to keep the wheels running. And I'm gonna be there shortly though.
So you manage those artists as well, or you just push them?
I'm the CEO.
CEO, like, okay.
My hands is in everything. I started the label. I put the money up into it. I got a manager. My man Kills from New York, you know, he's been heavy around the music industry, you know what I mean? And his insight's been so important and so big, really key to everything we're doing now. So I have a team, you know, and, I put the fingers and have my opinions, you know, and we go from there.
Now, when we're done with the interview, actually, I'm going to send you a message. And actually, send me over their music and maybe even their profiles, and I can play their music on the show and even have them come down or call in for an interview, too.
Well, yeah, definitely do that. I'll text you the his album just released. I'm on, like, two of the songs. But his album just came out, man. You definitely go check it out, man. It's fire. Like, I love it. He surprised me with a couple songs. You know, I usually hear all the music before it drops, but he snuck a couple songs on here that I didn't hear. And I was about to be like, man, what are you doing? But, oh, my God, I love it.
Man, I'm going to have to check it out. I'll definitely check it out. And can we expect an album anytime soon from you?
Funny that you said that. I'm thinking about, I think I'm going to drop a three to five song, small little EP. It's because a lot of people have been asking, and why not? It's just music. I love doing it. I don't do it for the money, and nothing other than that. I do it because I love it. So I think real soon, because the crazy thing is I got all the songs done. I just got to drop them. So I might sneak something out soon, definitely.
Good. And when you drop it, what are you thinking about naming it? Have you thought about that yet?
No, I haven't. It's a good question. I didn't even think about that in general. You know what I mean? But it'll be something dope, man. It'll be something real nice. Simple. Real simple, though. You know what I mean? So, it'll come to me.
Good. I know, and I'm sure a lot of people know, Le'Veon Bell released his project, Life's a Gamble. Could there be ever in a collab in the works? Maybe a future rap battle between you two?
Probably wouldn't be a rap battle, but you definitely got a feature coming real soon. We're gonna draw up. We talked about it a few times in Diesel, which is Bellamy. We all three talked about it, so something gonna happen soon.
Oh,
sooner than later. Yeah.
Maybe even a Jets anthem or theme song, maybe?
Hey. I'm all for it.
Oh, man. But there's been a craze of top 50 lists going around social media regarding rappers. I'm not going to make you list your top 50, of course. We'll be here all night. But if you had to choose your top five of all time, who would they be? I know Jay-Z is number one, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I put Biggie first. Mm-hmm. Tupac, Jay-Z. Oh, man. Eminem.
Okay.
And just because, man, I'm stuck. And I'm going to say Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne? Okay.
Yeah, and definitely.
You don't really see Lil Wayne on a top five list that much. It's unique.
Not no more, because these guys are young. I'm 30 years old, man. Mm. Like, a lot of these, like, it's like, if somebody from the new millennium era get a top five, it wouldn't have the names I had on it. And then there's guys older than me that wouldn't put Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, or Eminem on a top five. You would hear Rakim or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just go with the genre and I think the time of the time you're around for music. Because some people, most of these people don't understand what Wayne did. There's little babies, little...
Yeah, whoever. Little, there's all these Lils out today, yeah.
And they all got dreads and tattoos everywhere. But if people don't understand even where that started from. Like, this guy, like, Lil Wayne is different,
he
man.
Changed the culture.
He changed everything, man, right? And it's hard to have, like the LeBron and Jordan thing. Mm. You say LeBron's better than Jordan, there's some old guys are like, you're crazy as hell. But you can't blame somebody for what they grew up in, not the era they grew up in. So I feel like that's really why the top five rappers of all time is always going to be a big deal, a big argument amongst people, because most people can't physically sit here that's 21, 22 and rap every Lil Wayne song. Mm. You know what I mean? If they're going off his last album, then yeah, I've been around since he was 12 years old, man. Like, you know, like, most of these rappers now can't even stay in a career longer than 3 years in this rap game. You know, so it's like, you know, some people don't even know how to rate rappers, I feel like, in my opinion.
No. Yeah, it's true. And it brings me to my next question, and how hip-hop has changed. What do you think about that, how it's changed over the years from lyrics into... you know, party music. In 2013, I think hip hop was in a good state, but now you have this oversaturated of people with like Lils. How do you feel about that?
Man, it's just crazy, man. Everybody sounds alike. Everybody sounds the same. I feel like real rap is like on the brink of being dead, but at the same time, I respect where music's going. They said that hip hop wouldn't be around, rap wouldn't be around as long. I think it's going to be the longest living form of music ever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They said it wouldn't last in everything. Look at Lil Nas that sings the Cowboy song. Like, he turned that world upside down. Like, hip hop rap is going to outlast, I think, any other genre of music. So, I'm just one of those guys that grew up a little older and just like, one day, them guys, their music will change, and them guys that are young now, what they're listening to is going to become old, and it's going to be a new style, man. Mm-hmm. So I think it's crazy to me, but just the fact that rap and hip-hop is still going the way it's going, I'm supporting it all the way. Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. What are some of the songs that get you hyped up in the locker room before games that's in your playlist?
I listen a lot to my music or my own team's music, but I'll throw some Jay-Z on, of course. I got some Polo G. My brother sent me a song Polo G got called, I can't remember what it's called. Dang, I can't remember. Polo G, you know, you got Kanye West. You got some Lil Wayne, you know what I mean? Mm. I'll even go listen to some, dang, I can't remember his name. It's crazy, I'm drawing a blank right now. Dang, I can't remember his name. But I got a couple songs I go to. I even got a playlist. This is a mixture of everything. You know, Yo Gotti, Lil Uzi Vert. Mm-hmm. You just got a mixture of songs everywhere. Fab, A Boogie. A lot of guys, they don't never be a full album. I just got a few songs. Kodak Black. Mm-hmm. Some of them songs give me hype, so.
Now, you mentioned before that you're most likely going to drop an EP. And could we expect a single before that, or you're just gonna drop the EP?
Yeah, you'll probably get the single before I drop the full EP for sure. I already, it's damn near done. It's like 90% done. I don't know if I'm gonna throw a feature at the end to complete it, but like I said, most of the music, I got over like 1,000 songs, man.
Wow.
On releases. Yeah.
That's a big archive.
Man, been doing it for a long time, but we didn't have the business, so I got tired of just releasing music on SoundCloud.
So you started music when you were 12. So what year were you 12 years old, if you can remember?
Okay, let's do the math. I graduated high school in 2007.
2007.
So you figure you go to high school at 15.
Mm.
That was 2004. Probably like 2002, 2001.
Wow. Yeah, because I was going to ask you, because I'm a huge old school boom bap guy. I was like, did you ever record over a boom bap track? I was curious to hear something like that.
Oh, man, I can't remember. Did I ever record it where?
Over a boom bap track, like that 90s gritty old sound, New York sound.
Heck yeah. Yeah? Yeah. Man, what? I mean, we did the whole, me and my boy did a whole bunch of Dipset beats.
Oh.
We used to go in, man, like just redo our songs, man. But, oh yeah, I definitely had before.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to hear that. You ever going to drop any of that stuff or no? Nah, it was just for back in the day.
That stuff is probably long gone.
Oh.
Back then, but I got a lot of music, man. I'm going to make sure I get it to you, because I appreciate you always spinning my records, man, and, you know, putting it out there. So I had no problem sending you work. I can send you music all day.
No doubt. And you already know I'll put that up here. But I'm going to ask you a few more things. And in recent news, and it shocked the league, and I'm sure it shocked you, but what do you think about Andrew Luck's sudden retirement from football?
I was talking to my brother about that too. Because he's 29, I'm 30, he's a year younger than me. 7th season, just like me. And it's weird. I was definitely shocked, but I wasn't at like a standstill shock. Because I'm like his age. I've been around as long as him, and I'm pretty sure he took way more beats than I have in my career. Mm. It's a lot to get up and do this every day. It's a lot, definitely on your body, your mind, and I was shocked, like I said, but not at a standstill, because I believe if he could do that and walk away from that contract and retire, he really must be doing something that's best for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing what's best for him, and I totally respect it. And in this business, a lot of times you don't get to walk out on your own; they force you out. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, and I wish nothing but the best for him, but I feel as though NFL fans need to take in more consideration what you guys go through on the field, because they're just sitting in a seat from home just being like, why aren't they playing this way? You don't know what a player's frame of mind is, and if they're playing injured.
Right.
They just expect them to play 100% all the time, and it doesn't work that way.
And they got so many opinions, but probably never played outside of high school football.
No, even if that though,
but you know, they had no right to boo that man after all the things as far as body that laid on the line for that team in that city.
Mm. Yeah, I wish nothing for the best for him. But what is your main goal for the season personally?
My personal goal is for, and it might not, it's not really that personal, you know, but if I have to say it, it is personal to me, because it's real personal for me to do this, is to help this team, whatever it takes, to get back into the postseason.
Mm.
It's personal.
That.
I don't care what I got to do. I want us, we as a team, to be in the postseason. that's personal. Mm-hmm. That's very personal for me right now. I'm going on year 7 and never been in the playoff game. Personal.
Mm. And yeah. I hope you guys get to the playoffs as being a lifelong Jets fan and dethroning the Patriots for I don't know how many years now. So
right.
Let's get there.
In 2010, man. It's
yeah. 2010, 2011. That was the last time. That was our last mm-hmm. time. We're gonna get back there. I like this team. I like the coaches who came in. I believe in this franchise right now.
Thank you, man.
Especially you. So
thank you.
Can't wait to see you back on the field and good luck at the game tomorrow night. It's the last preseason game against the Eagles, right. And you got the opening yep. game against the Bills. Let's have bragging yep. rights there. Open up 1-0 and.
Let's in the division, right?
Yeah. just go
in
just,
the division.
You just got to go from there and just have a great season. And I want to thank you for calling in and joining me on my show and discussing to me your career so far and even your music career, man. I had a great time talking with you.
Likewise. I appreciate you having me, man. Thank you.
No doubt. And I don't know when you have breaks or when you'd be able to come down to the studio maybe after the season and come in and maybe even bring some of your artists.
I would love to. Mm-hmm. Definitely. We've been, you know, the schedule's really crazy. I finally came up here and seen your message right on time, you know, mm-hmm. so it was perfect.
Good. And I'm glad we got this done. So I'll be in touch with you. And like I said, I'm going to message you after this. Send me your artist info. I'll get their records up there going. And when the season's okay. over, we'll set up something. So you go back home or stay out in the tri-state
No, I'll be out here.
You'll be out here. Okay, yeah. So when the season's over, you know, we'll set something up. I'll have the show going year round. So we'll set up something. Okay. I'd even love to have you call in halfway through, if possible, to just you know just touch base and just talk about how the team's going for a follow up.
Yeah, we all good, man. You good in my book.
I appreciate that, Rontez. And where can my listeners follow you at on Instagram, Twitter? Give me your Instagram.
If you just type in my name, Rontez Miles, it should pop up. Just look okay. for the blue check, and I'll be there. First and last name.
Okay. And anything else you want to get out on the airwaves, Rontez? Is that it?
No, that's all, man. You know, go green.
Yep.
And let's do it for the city.
Yes, sir. All right, Rontez, I appreciate you calling in, man. Have a good night, all right?
You too, man. Thank you.
Yep, no doubt.